And welcome into the Monday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Hope everybody had a wonderful weekend. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, intern Nick here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Joseph, what's going on? How are we doing?
Doing okay. Interesting game last night at Bridgestone for the Preds, which I know we're going to get into. Also, nope. I'm tired.
I'm very tired as well. Not as tired as you are. You were a working man this weekend, and then you, me, and Michelle almost died on Saturday playing basketball together. But other than that, good stuff. Michelle, how are we doing?
Guys, I went hoofing again last night. This would be my summer thing.
Wow.
Best purchase ever was that basketball I bought. So there's a court right near my house. Catch me there every weeknight.
Michelle's just going
to
be
I have to be
serving it up every night, just sitting there crossing people over.
Listen, my goal is to actually have somewhat decent ball handling skills by the end of the summer.
Hey,
because
good goal.
That is my biggest weakness.
Well, you just bought a ball?
No, I brought one. Yeah, I've had one. I bought one last week.
So you got to buy another one. You got to do the two ball drills.
Oh, yeah. Dribble with both hands.
Joe, we are starting small. That'll be in like July.
Well, I know
you guys both shot. Sorry, you guys both shot better on your a better percentage on your jumpers than I did on my layups the other day. I'm pretty sure.
Well, we discovered Elijah Campbell pretty darn good. He can play.
Yeah. Yes, and I knew he could play. I played with him a couple times. He had an extraordinary day of finishing everything the other day, although it could have been the lack of defense. Although I fouled him many times, and he still scored. I mean, I fouled him.
Joe bodied him.
And he still just said, yeah, and won. Yeah, so good times.
It was good times, and my body's still recovering from it. But enough of that. We'll continue that discussion a later time. Joe? Not necessarily a good weekend for the Predators. They get 1 out of 4 points. They get hammered against Tampa Bay, and I'll give my thoughts on that here in just a minute. And then you lose last night in overtime with 1 second left against the Minnesota Wild. So you get 1 out of 4 points over the weekend, and it wasn't great, although the fortunes turned a little bit late last night as San Jose goes on the road to Vegas and ties things up. With 0.9 seconds left in regulation to make it 4-4, San Jose wins in a shootout after that, so Vegas limited to 1 point last night as well. So the magic number for the Predators is now down to 2 points after last night, even though you only got 1 out of 4 points over the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, they are right now the definition of limping in. I think last night you tweeted out, like, we're going to talk about the playoff push, and then someone was like, playoff push? Like, well, that's fair. It may be playoff limp, playoff drag. But they're going to get in. I mean, it would be stunning. It would not be stunning if the Preds got no points in the next two games. It just wouldn't be stunning. I mean, Calgary's really good. They're coming in tomorrow, last home game, and then you're going to Colorado. I guess they're ticked off because they're losing games that mean nothing to them.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's impossible by any means for the Preds to be sitting there with no points after the next two games. You know, it may take that game in Arizona. You certainly don't want that if you're the Preds. So beat Calgary, and there you go. In the meantime, Vegas and Dallas play each other. So who do you root for in that game at this moment? Who do you think Preds fans should be rooting for?
Well, at this point, you just need to get in because that's kind of the way I approach it. Now, I mean, the good news is you'll probably know your answer before that game's over on Tuesday night. Yeah. I mean, the game starts 30 minutes later than the Preds-Flames game does. So, I mean, going into that game, I'm probably rooting for Dallas just in case the Predators lose. You want to get in the playoffs, but if you end up beating the Flames, then all of a sudden your attention turns to, yeah, Vegas, why don't you go ahead and win this game against Dallas? But I tell you what, they're making it difficult. Now, I don't think it's a big surprise with the schedule. I mean, the Tampa thing, number one, they just don't match up well against Tampa, and they've pretty much been destroyed by Tampa the last 2 years. And Tampa this week, I think, has decided to – turn it back on. They scored 8 against Toronto. They scored 6 against the Predators. And last night, against the Florida team that has been the best team in the league and has won 13 games in a row, they scored 8 again against the Florida Panthers last night. So a nice little reminder of what I've been saying all year, Joe Rexroad, of you can talk about Colorado and Florida and all those teams and Calgary all you want. I still think when Tampa turns it on, they're better than anybody. And they're showing that the last few days.
I mean, it's like they're like, okay, here we go. Flip the switch and let's just humiliate everyone before the playoffs. Let's make everyone feel humiliation before the playoffs begin. It's something else. And I agree. And, boy, I would love to see Tampa Bay, Florida again.
Yeah.
That could be epic. And, yeah, it'd be hard to pick against Tampa Bay.
It would. I mean, they've looked really good. They look great against the Predators the other night. Now, the Predators helped them out. I mean, there was some turnovers that they had, some bad defensive zone coverage. I don't know about you. I didn't think Saros had much of a chance on most of those in that game. I mean, there was one from Hedman from the point that found its way through that you're just like, you'd probably like to see that one get saved. But most of them, I didn't think he had much of a shot on. But I thought there was a chance when they pulled Saros on Saturday early in the third period that they'd go back with him last night against Minnesota. They did not. Riddick comes in the third period on Saturday, and Riddick starts, and I thought for the most part, played well yesterday too against Minnesota. Minnesota had a ton of shots on goal and lots of penalty troubles yet again for the Predators yesterday, some of which I agreed with, some of which I didn't. But I'll tell you what, that Kevin Fiala looked pretty darn good out there yesterday.
Well, his little stretch there at the end of the second, you know, changed the game, obviously.
Yep.
Just a great pass on the power play. And then the ridiculous little moving backhand in the slot. He's good. He's very good. A good reminder last night. And I agree. I think Riddick played well. I mean, the Wild, especially that most of the second period, just were all over the Preds, all over them. And then, like you said, you go into the box, I think there's 12 total penalties called. Wild had 7 power plays. You can't have it, you know. You certainly can't have it against teams with good power plays. And, that's what you're going to see for the most part in the playoffs. I mean, it's there's just a lot of things about the Preds right now that are just not great. You know, they just I feel like right now their best is okay. Like, when's the last time they played a game that you were like, wow, that was a performance? I mean, look, they played pretty well against Calgary last week.
Yep.
That was a big win. They had their ups and downs in that game. It was a big, but when's the last time they really impressed for 60 minutes?
Well, I'll say it this way. We've argued back and forth a little bit in terms of Colorado, Calgary. I think both of us agree that Calgary is the better matchup. I think you're stronger in that than I am. Right now, it doesn't matter. If they play the way they played the last month, they're going to lose, and they're going to lose pretty quickly, regardless of if it's Colorado or Calgary. There's a different level that they're going to have to get to that they're just not at right now. And there's a couple things about that that's pretty concerning to me that I'll get into in the next segment. But, you know, Saros has been inconsistent. The defensive play, more times than not lately, has not been good. And basically, you've got 4 guys scoring goals right now, and that's about it. And I'll get into more of that here in just a few minutes. But right now, the way they played the last month, it doesn't matter if you're playing Colorado or Calgary. If it doesn't improve, they're going to be out, and they're going to be out quickly.
Yeah. And you know how it goes. Look, it goes like this, and I think it goes like this in all the sports to different extents. Talk about the NCAA tournament with this quite a bit, but and this happens sometimes in hockey too. You know, a team barely gets in and then just you find something. A lot of times it has to do with your goalie. So
sure.
You can't just translate whatever just happened at the end into the beginning of the postseason. But I agree. I mean, they haven't had that game that you need in the playoffs for a while now. I don't know exactly why that is. I think it's a lot of factors. But again, the most important thing now is to find a way to just get in and hope that, a few days off, you can reset. And to me, hope that your opponent's Calgary.
I thought the officiating was atrocious last night. I thought it was awful. And, you know, that's going to happen from time to time. I thought it was extremely poor last night. The goaltender interference play, I can't for the life of me understand last night. You've got Middleton of the Wild is falling down on the play before anyone's even really around him. And then does Cunning's stick make contact with his skate at some point? Yeah, after he fell down into the goalie. Like I could not believe that that wasn't goaltender interference last night. You know, Delorier gets called for a cross check in front of the net where Nick Cousins took a total dive on that play. I just could not believe how poor the officiating was last night. It was brutal to watch.
Yeah, they called at least 2-3 penalties overall that I thought were like, just come on, guys. We're going to call. I mean, we're a week from the playoffs. Are you trying, like, how much different do you want it to be? You know, how much different do you want these last games to be compared to what we know happens in the playoffs? You're going to call every little thing. But I agree, the goalie interference, the thing is, he definitely slipped and hit Riddick first. Now, you could argue that kind of kept him there, I guess, because he slid into him right after. That's the only thing I could come up with is, okay, like he had didn't have a chance to separate himself because he got kind of pushed in after, but he went into him by himself.
Well, yeah, that's all fine, and I think you could make that argument, but don't get on the microphone and tell me that the Nashville player caused contact with goaltender interference, because that's just not true. I mean, yeah. We all saw it. Don't sit there and lie to me on the replay. Like, I don't know what you're looking at that point.
Yeah, it was, again, I mean, that's one of those, like, okay, I know what's going to happen on this one. I know this goalie interference call and what's going to happen. I know the outcome. And once again, wrong. But that one, I think most people would look at that like, across hockey, you'd have 90%+ people saying, oh, yeah, that's not goalie interference.
We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts on the Predators on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Adam in Portland, hang with us. We'll get to you on the phone line on the other side. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Monday morning, taking your thoughts on the Predators, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Adam from Portland. Adam, thanks for calling in.
Yeah, man, hey, I agree with you guys that the officiating wasn't good, but at the same time, man, I didn't think we were that great. Anytime you give up that many scoring chances, I did like the 5-on-3. That was great defense. I'm shocked. But at the same time, and anytime you're giving up twice as many shots on goal, you don't look like the hungrier team. So, and I didn't think we looked like the hungrier team for except for like a 10-minute stretch after that 5-on-3. It looked like Minnesota was better. So, I don't know, man. Hey, I've just it didn't look like a team that had to have it, and we had to have it.
Hey, thanks for the call, Adam. I mean, I agree with what Adam's saying there. And look, Minnesota has been playing really well. The Predators have matched up well against them all season long. But, I mean, you had basically a Minnesota team out there last night that were missing a lot of key guys. I mean, Zuccarello wasn't playing. Greenway wasn't playing. Dumba wasn't playing. Foligno wasn't playing. Spurgeon got hurt in the game. I mean, that's a depleted Minnesota group out there last night. And they basically took it to you the whole game. Now, credit to the Predators for finding a way to dig a point out of that, because I thought, you know, that was a game where Minnesota was the better team really from start to finish, and the Predators found a way to get a point out of it. So good for them for battling back and to be able to do that. But, you know, to Adam's point there, you know, that's a Minnesota team that were missing a lot of key guys, and they were by far, I thought, the better team last night.
Yeah, again, I thought especially, I mean, the second period, it was just like, oh, my gosh, Riddick, head on a swivel, buddy, as Terry Crisp likes to say. They were just better. Think about last time they played, Minnesota did not make the same tactical mistake of let's go in and just start punching people and make a statement. You know, last time they played, they did that, and they, I don't know if that had an impact, but the Preds gladly accepted the challenge and then beat them and again showed like, wow, this is a good matchup for the Preds. Didn't look like a good matchup last night. I have seen some I just don't think good teams right now, really good teams, are a good matchup with the way the Preds are playing. I just don't think they're playing well enough. I did see, and I saw Alex Doherty tweeted about this, and there was a little bit of talk to around press row. The goalie decision, should John Hines have flip flopped it? You know, you go Riddick against Tampa Bay, and you know Saros against the Wild. I understand, like, that's an easy one, I think, in retrospect. And again, speaking to Terry Crisp, he has said it before, right? Hey, if there's a game that you have a better chance of winning, take your best guy for that one. But the thing is, you know, Saros had that rest, and you want him in that Tampa Bay game. You want to go win the Tampa Bay game. I think it would have been weird. And what are you saying too, if you do that, if you flip flop that, have all that rest and say, all right, and Riddick's the guy here in the first game of the weekend. I disagree. It's easy to say right now, but I think you go with Saros as much as you can. And following up on that, I don't think that you go with him yesterday, even though he had a short day of work. The last back-to-back with him did not work out. Not that it was mostly on him.
Well, but and to that point, though, I think now he plays Saturday. He's rested until Tuesday. And look, let's say things don't go well for the Predators this week and that Arizona game means something. Saros is going to play Colorado and he's going to play Arizona. Like, he's playing back-to-back if he has to this week because, I mean, you can't go down – I understand the argument of the backup goaltenders, but when it's potentially the last game of the season with a chance to get in the playoffs, and if you're the Predators, you're hoping it doesn't come down to that this week, but it still could. He's getting both of those if he needs to get both of those. So getting him the rest yesterday also kind of plays into that as well.
Yeah, for sure. And now again, so, okay, you could still have enough rest. You could have Monday off and play, but yeah. I mean, if you're Hines, you had to look at this like, if need be, this last week it's all Saros. So you know you're not going to use him for both of these games. I think you know he has that rest. You use him in the Tampa Bay game. It didn't go well. It's easy to say now. Well, they would have put a touchdown on anybody. They're putting a touchdown on everybody they play. Well, okay, but go with your best. Again, I think Riddick. Now, he gave up some juicy rebounds yesterday.
He did.
At times, you know. But
got a lot of help from the post, too, but yeah.
I'm not saying he was great, but you know what? He hung in there, and he gave him a chance. And I was really looking forward to the Fiala-Riddick showdown in the shootout before. The Preds, by the way, screwed that up.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's a couple seconds left.
Just run the clock out, man.
Yeah, it's okay to try. I believe it was Yossi who should have hung back, right? I think that's correct. So that's tough to lose like that.
Definitely tough to lose like that. And there's a disturbing kind of a trend that's going on right now that I think has gone maybe a little too much under the radar. And Will in Bellevue on the text line starts to point this out. Gutsy 1 point, but disturbing trend. 7 penalties, 41% on faceoffs, double the giveaways, half the shots, only 4 goal scorers. We're better than that. Let's beat Calgary and finish this. This coming from Will from Bellevue. I was looking around last night because I was wondering to myself, when is the last time that the Herd line did anything offensively? Tanner Jeannot now has 0 points in his last 9 games. Trennan, 0 points in his last 12 games, and Colton Sisson, 0 points in his last 17 games. So you're talking about double-digit games for 2 of the 3, and you're approaching all 3 of them, where they've not had a point on the board. That cannot happen, especially when it's, and I get it, we're talking about the third line. This has been way more important of a third line for the Predators than most teams throughout the league. But especially when you factor in that you're getting nothing from Elli Tolvanen, who I thought was just totally invisible last night and didn't play on Saturday against Tampa Bay, it's time to be, in my mind, pretty concerned about Elli Tolvanen. You're not getting anything from Luke Cunningham. You can't not get anything from those guys, and then also not get anything from the third line offensively either. Basically, four guys are scoring goals right now. It's Matt Duchene, Philip Forsberg, Ryan Johansson, and Roman Josi. And you'll have others sprinkled in there. Fabro got a big one last night. But it's basically those four guys offensively right now, and that's not going to get it done.
Yeah, I mean, those numbers are – again, those numbers to me tell the story of, you know, a collective that isn't getting it done. And I know that those guys have a lot more of a role than just scoring and producing. And look, last night I'm watching Tanner's, you know, just throw guys. I mean, he launches a guy, you know, halfway across the ice into his own goal. I mean, he's out there doing his thing, but those numbers are really interesting. And I think telling, and I wonder if the coaching staff is toying around with anything there. Maybe the whole idea of see what Junot can do, up with a Johansson perhaps. But one way or the other, you know, they've got to do more than that.
Well, I understand that line, their primary responsibility is not to score goals. I get that. It's to be physical. It's to set the tone. It's to play well defensively against other teams' top lines. And it's to, you know, really kind of establish the forecheck and the identity of the group. I get all that. But you can't have nothing. Like, you can't be nothing offensively out there. And you're talking about a pretty big sample size. I mean, 12 games for Trennan with no points, 17 for Sissons with no points, 9 with Junot for no points. I mean, you can't have that. I mean, if that's going to be what it is, you just don't have a chance in the playoffs, because you have to have some balanced scoring to some degree. And, I mean, you know, Forsberg scores last night. Duchene, I think, continuing to play really well. I think Ryan Johansson continuing to play really well, even though I didn't think Tomasino or Tolvanen, either one of them, were very good last night along with him. But right now, I mean, it's just totally dried up other than those four guys.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, Trennan's, you know, he's a 17-goal guy. I mean, I thought Trennan was you know, had a real chance to get to 20 goals, you know, this year. So it's not like those guys haven't, you know, had their moments of, I mean, Sissons, you know, I mean, you expect some level of production to go along with, like you said, I mean, they are the tone setters for this team. I'd be really interested to know in that stretch, you know, as John Hines evaluates things, like, does he feel like they're doing all the other things at the same level? Because it seems like when they do what they do at the highest level, that inevitably leads to some production.
Yeah.
If you really get in the forecheck established, that's where you can score off that, and they do.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Predators on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Last week of the regular season, making a push towards the playoff, what's your concern level right now with the Predators? 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
I think how Saros is at this point heading into this last week, I feel like this little rest will be beneficial.
Yeah, I certainly do. I think he's, you know, he's in a really good place. I think the fact that we, you know, went with David tonight, we have a couple days here to rest and regroup, and I think that's good for Juice, and now we got three left, and he should be ready to go.
That was John Hines after the game last night discussing UC Saros. Phenomenal question by Joe Rexroad there, of Robbie and Rexroad, and theathletic.com as well. Taking your thoughts on the Predators on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe, we mentioned the struggles of late against playoff teams. They are 2-4-2 in their last 8 games against teams currently in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So, as of today, teams currently in the playoffs, 2-4-2. Now, they have beaten Minnesota during that stretch, and they have beaten Calgary during that stretch as well, which they'll see again coming up tomorrow night at Bridgestone Arena. But overall, the concern level against high-quality playoff-level teams over the last little stretch here, 2-4-2 in their last 8 games.
Yeah, it speaks to, I think, just how they're playing overall. I mean, you've hit on some of the issues that right now, I think, They really are struggling to generate offense, other than with that core group of people who are having career years, and those folks are doing a lot of their damage on the power play, which is great. I mean, you get a couple power play goals. I think, what, 2 for 4 or 2 for 5 yesterday. I mean, my gosh, they had a chance to be at 9 for 18 on the year against Minnesota with that, yeah. If they would have got a third. But man, you take that away and they just, you know, they're not generating offense. And then also I just thought that they were just in the D zone yesterday. I mean, they were just way too much, activity for the Wild, too many primo chances. Too many penalties by the Preds, which of course, now granted, as our caller said earlier, the 5-on-3 kill was massive. You know, you don't get that goal wiped off that was goal interference. And then of course, because you challenge it and because you had the penalty on Riddick, you go 5-on-3. That was a big kill, but I just, overall, I just don't think they're playing very well. And it seems like it's also an interesting, I got a tweet last night, which I, you know, I've talked with Vingan a little bit about this too. And I got to say, it is amazing when you think back to like January, not just like where they were in the standings, you know, or where what their trajectory looked like, but you know, it's more than that. And I'm trying to find this tweet as I mean, I guess I could just, here we go. It's GZT. Okay. Says, I can't think of a Preds team that had me legitimately excited to watch for half the season and now completely disinterested. They're not enjoyable to watch. I don't know if I'd go that far, but I must say, I don't think of this team anymore like, I mean, how many times did we talk early in the season? Like, this team is a blast. You know, they're just fun to watch, and it's a lot more of a slog now.
Well, it is, and look, I mean, you've still got Forsberg. He gets his 40th last night. Duchesne gets his 41st last night. So, I mean, those two guys continue to be incredible. Yossi's at 91 points on the year now. So there's aspects of it that have been consistent all year long. But, yes, I mean, the overall product right now, I mean, when you've got guys that are just struggling to find any sort of production whatsoever offensively, I mean, that catches up to you at some point. I mean, we went through the herd line, Tolvanen and Cunning not bringing much to the table. You know they've put Forsberg and Duchesne back with Granlund, so that's helped Granlund out a little bit 5-on-5. But there's just too much inconsistency throughout the lineup right now. And Joe, the other thing is this: like, if you're not scoring, you better defend, and that's not really happening much either. I mean, they gave up 8 to St. Louis, they gave up 6 to Tampa Bay. They give up 5 last night to Minnesota. I know not all of that's just strictly on D-zone coverage, but if guys aren't scoring, you better defend. And right now they're not doing that very well either.
Yeah, it just, I mean, it felt like in the second period the ice was tilted, as they like to say.
Oh, yeah.
They really couldn't get anything going. They had trouble getting out of the D-zone, and they gave up some good chances. Again, I thought Riddick – you know, gave him a chance. I thought Riddick really battled in there. So it's just not all connecting for them. And that's just not ideal at this point of the year. And you know, it's like, do you as you hear come into the final three games? Because I thought Hines last night after the game, I mean, look, you take coach post-game press conferences with an understanding that sometimes coaches use those either way. Sometimes send a message, you know, get light a fire. Sometimes it's like, well, let's keep things calm and not overreact. But he was mostly, you know, positive about his team's performance in the game. And I agree with the aspect about, you know, liking how they hung in there and fought. And they fought down a goal. You have that bad, bad stretch at the end of the second. And it's boom, boom, and Fiala just burned you. And all of a sudden you go from up one to down one entering the third, you know, completely flip-flop. It's bad enough to see it tied after going to the box again.
Yep.
But I did think – I mean, I thought they hung in there, you know, well and had some chances. And then finally Fabbro, you know, gets that shot, you know, tipped, I believe, by the defender right off, right? Yep. Kind of ramped it a little bit. Yeah, but no, but it's a big goal, and they hung in there. And so I agree. I mean, you know, they fought. They didn't back away. They didn't fade. But they're just it's just not all connected right now. So how, you know, if you're him, do you keep tinkering with the lineup? And I mean, you got McCarron back in there now. You go Tolvanen, healthy scratch. Then you bring Tolvanen back and put him up with Johansson. I mean, it's just – it feels kind of chaotic right now. And it's interesting to me, like, what's he going to do next? I mean, it could be a different thing the next game too. And where does that leave you when you go into the playoffs?
Yeah, that's going to be something that's interesting to figure out this week. Alan on the text line says, if the herd is your identity line and they're not scoring – then you've lost your identity. I got another texture that says the Predators look lost in the D zone. It feels like our players are caught watching the play instead of players themselves. And James on the text line says, move Trennan and Janot up to the second line with Granlund in the center. I'd rather see Rocco up here instead of half our bottom six dudes. I believe Rocco's hurt, but I hear you.
Get that Rocco in there. Come on, Rocco. People love their Rocco.
They do.
Hey, he had four goals in a game.
He did.
yeah, Matthew Mjolten. Matthew Mjolten, yes, the officials were terrible. We've talked about it already. Yeah, I mean, they, you know, that was goalie interference, I believe. And, you know, they called a lot of stuff. They called – it's just – I don't know, man. Why are you calling ticky-tack stuff to that extent? And, again, I think – you know, I'm not saying just on one side or the other either, but it just felt like every little thing was being called last night. And, I mean, we're, you know, once the playoffs come, you wouldn't expect that to be the case, right?
I wouldn't think so.
It's never the case. So, I don't know. I agree. It's frustrating.
Bond on Twitter says, the herd line, not their only problem. Less than average goalies and an inability to finish games. Might make the playoffs, and then what? League got them figured out since Christmas. This is coming from Bond on Twitter. Says the league has figured the Predators out, and Herdline, not their only problem at the moment. I would agree it's not their only problem at the moment, but you can't have zero from those guys offensively. Like, we've talked about John Hines and his hesitation to break up the Herdline, and I understand why. But if they're not giving you anything offensively, you can't just leave them together forever either.
Yeah, well, it's a big, big move, clearly, because that's the one thing he hasn't touched. I mean, that's the one aspect of this team that he has not touched this year. And so, obviously, it's a big move if you do it. And I don't know. At this point, I don't know if it's the best idea. They still do things together they have all year that you need them to do. And you like the idea of that line. That's interesting, because Janot could be really interesting in a different situation. But I guess I have my doubts that he's actually going to do it. But look, I mean, they are searching right now for something. And as far as, you know, the average goalie thing, look, I mean that still to me is what it comes down to. If you want to pick one thing, like UC Saros is either great, like. Great Saros, best Saros, the Saros of most of last year, and even the Saros, I think, of the playoff series, or you have zero chance.
Well,
I see no chance.
I would agree, and he's not really been that in a while. He's had some games here or there where he's looked great. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm not saying that Saros has been bad, but he there is a different level that he has not gotten to, I don't think, on a consistent basis in a while. That he's going to have to get to if this team has any prayer whatsoever in the playoffs. And, you know, sometimes you reset going in the playoffs and you can get there and you're feeling good and that's all it takes in a playoff series. And sometimes you're just searching for it. I know Predators fans at Preds Twitter are pretty loud a bit right now about running him into the ground. There's a lot of that on Saturday.
Yeah. Well, look, it's the most he's ever played, but we knew that was going to happen too, right? Shout out to John Glennon for the stat accumulation of, you know, last five games for Saros, .875
yep.
save percentage. Now, that's not good. Now, and I hate to bring up this again because, like, every time the Preds barely get in the playoffs, it should not be brought up. But I will say, Pecorine was not playing great late in the 2017 season. It wasn't bad, but like he wasn't, you know, he wasn't on fire or anything. And then he goes into the postseason and he goes shutout in Chicago, and boom, on you go. So that does happen.
You heard it here. So Rex Road has the Preds to the Cup final.
Exactly. Clear parallel.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll get into the NBA playoffs, the weekend for the Memphis Grizzlies, and a big week coming up this week for Nashville SC. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Beverly missed them both. Door open. Here come the Grizzlies. Morant veering. Oh, my goodness, what a finish. It's a one-possession game. And Clark.
Don't contest.
Dane hits the three. That's it. Minnesota has tied up this first-round series.
The Timberwolves show some life over the weekend, and they even up the series 2 games apiece with the Memphis Grizzlies. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. So, Joe, I thought that the way the Grizzlies came back and won the game in Game 3 may have been all she wrote for the Minnesota Timberwolves, but that was not the case. The Timberwolves win Game 4, and we've got an interesting series heading into Game 5, all even up at 2. What did you think of the Grizzlies' performance in Game 4, and how do you feel about the Grizzlies in this series right now with the series evened up at 2 games apiece?
Yeah, it's a lot bigger a challenge than I think a lot of people anticipated, but this is also, you know, first time in this kind of situation for this group of players. So there is a different level of pressure. I mean, look at the 2 games in Minnesota, incredible comebacks by the Grizzlies. And when they turn it on and get it all going, they're awfully good. But, you know, they got handled a lot of those. Let me see, 96 minutes. Yes. 96 minutes of basketball. I mean, they really got outplayed a lot of that. And then Karl Anthony Towns, you know, just wore them out in Game 4. So I still like the Grizzlies in this series, but it's a challenge. It's probably a better series than a lot of people would have thought. It does help them, I think, that, you know, that Denver, because you're thinking ahead a little bit, you know, Denver gets Golden State, so Golden State's not going to be able to just rest for like a week, you know, before you get to them, but you got to get to them. You know, you got to get to them first. And, you know, it's just sometimes the turnovers, you know, kind of the same thing when the T-Wolves go in bad stretches, sometimes the Grizzlies get into some turnovers and shot selection issues. And then again, they're struggling a little bit defensively with this matchup, you know, giving up 119, but 33-14 for Towns. And I mean, if Bane doesn't go nuts,
yeah,
and I mean, he was going nuts, then I think Minnesota wins that game going away.
Yeah, Bane finishes with 34 points, 8 of 12 from the three-point line. Look, Ja Morant, I'm not saying he's been terrible in this series, but Minnesota's doing a good job of keeping him from scoring. I mean, he had 11 points on Saturday, and, you know, I understand that there's more to it than that. He had 15 assists, and Ja Morant makes, you know, 3-4 plays a game that are just superhuman. But they're doing a good job for the most part, I think Game 2 aside, and then keeping him from just lighting it up, scoring the basketball.
Yeah, look, I mean, you got to have more scoring from Ja Morant if you're the Grizzlies. You know, I mean, I think he's a -6 in that game overall. And, you know, he's got to score the basketball more than that and go have a better game than 4 for 13. No question about it. You got to have a nice balance from him. You want him to be right around the mid-20s with about 10 assists, and 11 and 15 doesn't get done. Now, granted, you know, he's getting the ball to Bane, and Bane's hitting from wherever, just catching at the logo and shooting. But you got to have more than that, you know, if you're the Grizz. And it's tough to go 15 for 32 from 3, 47%, and lose that game, but that's what happened.
Now you're coming back home. I mean, the good news is with that dramatic comeback in game three, you've still got home ice advantage, or home court advantage at that point. But it's one of those things, too, where you don't want this going the distance and having a game seven. I still feel good about the Grizzlies winning this series. I still think ultimately they're going to be the ones that eke it out and advance to the second round here. But, I mean, you could make an argument in three of the four games, Minnesota has been the better team. And I did not expect that. Like, I thought Minnesota might get a game or two. I did not expect to be, you know, four games into this series. And basically, I think for the most part, they've been the better team in three of the four games. You know, obviously that comeback where you're down 26, it was an incredible run that the Grizzlies went on. But Minnesota could very easily be up 3-1 right now.
Yeah. And look, Towns, if he's going to play like that, he's going to go 3 for 5 from three, popping off screens, just launching. He's going to get to the line 17 times. You know, I mean, Edwards coming downhill. Russell was bad in that game. And I think Russell, a lot of times, I think he's one of the – is he overrated? I don't know. I don't know if he's rated high, but he's one of the good players in the NBA that I don't think is very good. Like, the Warriors were immediately better when they got rid of him. But he's dangerous, and when he can hit some shots, you know, he can create for others. And then Pat Beverly gets under your skin. Then he also goes 4 from 6 from three, you know. It's a good team. I mean, it's a good series. But, you know, the Suns have gotten even up too.
Yep.
So if you look at the whole picture of the West, that's good. It's just, you know, you'd love to see if you're the Grizzlies, all that matters is a series, but you'd love to see Denver figure out a way to extend that series again against the Warriors, so there's not a mismatch in rest between you and them if you get there.
Joe, real quickly around the rest of the NBA playoffs, the Raptors stay alive to force the game five. They're down 3-1 in that series. The Jazz and Mavericks even up at 2 games apiece. Yesterday, the Bulls and the Bucks. The Bucks dominate on the road this weekend. They're up 3-1, and that one's over. I'm here to tell you. And
I will eat my crow for that one right here, right now.
Yeah, shout out to the people all over me about Chris Middleton on the text line the other day. That's proven to be very important right now.
Yeah.
There's still some shout guy named Giannis playing for the Bucks.
Shout out to Ryan Porth. So the Bulls are down 26 going into the fourth. Can they get this closer
to 22 points?
That's right. And the Celtics taking a 3-0 series lead against the Brooklyn Nets. They go for the sweep tonight. And apparently Ben Simmons not playing tonight in game four either. So could it be a sweep for the Boston Celtics against the Brooklyn Nets? I'd hate to see that.
Well, if that's the case, what's the – man, you know, the whole – the Kyrie Durant – One thing that will be a result of Steve Nash will be gone.
He will be fired.
And yeah, I mean, it's just a weird hire if you think about it. You know, like just because you were a great point guard in the NBA doesn't mean you automatically should get a head coaching job like that. Not that I'm like necessarily like, you know, blaming him, but it doesn't seem like here is the movie Office Space.
Oh boy,
what Steve?
Here we go again.
Steve Nash, what would you say you do here? See? Works perfectly. But also just the, you know, the Durant, I got to say, the idea of Durant getting swept in the first round and then having to watch the Warriors win it all without him. My.
Until the Grizzlies beat the Warriors, Joe.
Well, it could be.
I told Brennan that, and he got really mad.
Oh, did he?
Yes.
Oh, gosh. Well, if you think Brennan talks trash to me on the basketball court, you see him watching a Warriors game.
Joe, the Nashville SC opening up Geodis Park this weekend as well. Going to be awesome. The environment coming up on Sunday at Geodis Park. Brand new stadium taking on Philadelphia. They had a tough game over the weekend. They started really well in the first half. They had a couple of chances. Hani Mukhtar with a couple of good looks. And they give up a goal in the 86th minute to fall 1-0 to the LA Galaxy. So you close out a grueling road trip to begin the season for Nashville SC with their first 8 on the road. And now you're back home coming up on Sunday. It's a big week here in our city in the world of sports. You got the Preds in a playoff push. You got the draft coming up this week in the NFL. And Nashville SC opening up their home stadium at Geodis Park coming up on Sunday as well. I'm really looking forward to that environment this weekend.
Yeah, that's going to be an awesome scene. And, you know, the overall, I'd say Nashville SC did very well having to start totally on the road like this. That's going to be, it's going to be a heck of a scene. It looks fantastic at the park, and I wouldn't bet against them on that day. Also this last weekend, by the way, I think, you know, Tennessee and Vanderbilt baseball front, you know, Vanderbilt 2 out of 3 against Kentucky, which they needed, but the Vols, man, sweep at Florida first time since 01, 17-1. No one's ever had a better start in the SEC. You know, now you put in Blade Tidwell. He looks like the ace on Saturday. They get, you know, a freshman hitting a 2-run single to tie it in the 9th, 2-run homer to win it. You catch one at the wall to hold them off. Like, they're just, I mean, it is an, I mean, just a magical season for Tennessee baseball. It's really something to see. Like, they're, you know, they're in like greatest of all time type discussion territory. I know it's still early, but they are an incredible team. And Tony Vitello just gets off suspension. And as he said after the game, like, I, you know, he thought he was going to screw it up for them.
Well, they're
been
down
winning without him.
They're down 4-2 in the ninth yesterday with 2 outs, and they come back and tie that up, go to extra innings, and then a monster home run, and then they end the game in style with basically a robbed home run to end the game. It was pretty incredible. And then, as we know, the Tennessee baseball team is prone to do, not shy with their celebration yesterday either.
They put on Florida football helmets.
They did. I don't really know what that was all about, but they did.
Now, imagine if they could do that and the fur coats.
Oh, yeah.
Like, fur coats for everybody in Gainesville, Florida, too, by the way. That would have been sweet. That's for next time.
615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coming up next, we'll get Joe's thoughts on the Ryan Tannehill Instagram situation that caused such a firestorm over the weekend. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.